Just so you know, since we're killing some time in the beginning here, that we do three teleconferences per month. They are on Wednesdays. Our senior consultants, Melody Schumann and Ali Alberigo, comprise two of those. And the third one, we always invite a guest. And the last couple of months I've been structuring them as interviews, and I've really been having a great time doing that. And so I'd like to continue that. Is the people that are on board, have you attended the guest teleconferences? Are you enjoying those in that format?
Very much so, yeah.
It's fun for me. I get to participate. And, you know, I think what we're doing today is also a little unique. Rather than bringing in, you know, an industry organization person, I'm identifying some people that are like you guys, you know, school owners that, I mean, of course, Melody and Ali are school owners as well, but trying to create some networking between our clients and identifying some people out there that are doing very well. And Mike has a very, very unique history, and he has some great things going on with his school, and he has an upcoming program that he's developing that I think everyone will be interested in. So I guess now we'll get started. Basically, Mike has been in the industry for about 15 years, Mike?
Yes, sir.
And I know that you've been working on and off with various industry consultants very closely, and you've
almost everybody.
You've tapped into many different people. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you're doing? And you have multi-school operation. Just kind of give us a little history there first to start.
Okay, I'll try and keep it as entertaining and as brief as possible. I started the industry in about 1991. I reside in Long Island, New York, and I actually practice kung fu, which is a little more unique for the industry. And with that, it came a lot of inherent challenges where when I started out, I didn't have the formal training of being in a commercial-style school. So I didn't start with belts, and I didn't know how to charge for membership, or classes were an hour and a half long, and it was just really I was really ignorant to any aspects about the business. And when I got into the business, I did not get into the business with the concept that I was going to make $1 million. I was actually under the premise that if you had decent martial arts, you actually couldn't make any money at it. The only people who made money were some kind of sellouts in some way. And I was fortunate that early in my training I got the opportunity to meet some very, very good people in the industry, and it was a long list of people that I have to, I guess, give props to. But and I was able to adapt, and I was able to change my belief system or the way I thought about my business. And that was probably the single most important thing that I ever did versus learning a specific technique. So I had a school in 91. By 93, I had a second location. 2 years later, I think I was at four. And by my fifth or sixth year, we had five locations. I sold a few locations. I had currently two, and in the early 90s, I was experiencing a high level of success. I had my first school was a second floor location in an office building. My rent was $2,000 a month, and I was grossing between $22,000 and $28,000 a month. So I was a young guy at the time, and I was doing great. And I kind of got distant from the industry and disassociated myself, and as a result I kind of really tailed off. I didn't really increase my revenue. I kind of stayed where I was, and by not networking and not being involved in business circles and listening to consultants and things like that, I really kind of stagnated myself. So I mean, even now for me today, I mean, I love listening to the teleconferences that are on Member Solutions and Ali and Melody. I mean, it's great stuff, and I really encourage everybody. You know, and if you can get one thing from a teleconference, or you get one good idea, or one thing that just reminds you of something else that you already knew you were supposed to do, I mean, it's valuable. So it's always important to network and stay within that area. So in the meantime, you know, I have two schools, and for the last 2 years, we really instituted a bunch of different types of systems in the school that have enabled us to achieve a level of success that I have to tell you all honestly that I didn't even dream was possible going back 5 and 10 years. And to give you an idea, the main location I work at, we're grossing just about $50,000 every month for the past several months. And our billing check has grown $10,000 in the last 6 months alone. my estimate is that within one calendar year, I'll add at least $20,000 to my billing check. And it sounds, again, like an astronomical number, and I wasn't able to do that years ago, but I found out certain things that the most successful school owners in the industry were doing to build their gross income and, as a result, build their billing check as well. And the first step took place when I recognized that I was in the wrong business. And when most people ask, well, what type of business are you in? I mean, we'll get everything from, oh, we're in the service industry, we're in the leadership business, we're in the, you know, black belt business. And what I realize is that most people think about their business, and their main focus is getting new enrollments, always getting new students. And what I did is I shifted my focus from the getting of new students to the producing of black belts. And I know it sounds a little metaphysical, but as you get older, you find out that martial arts is sometimes more mental than physical. In the same way, I have found out that the only reason why I enroll new students is to facilitate an upgrade, is to get them involved in black belt level training and to get them early on to set a goal and make a commitment to become black belts. And what I mean by this is, you know, a lot of times we, and I'm sure most people on the call have some kind of goal in mind for how many new students they wish to enroll. And you kind of project and plan and forecast and say, well, if I enroll X number of students every month, in 12 months, you know, I'll have this many students, my gross income should be here, my billing check should be here. And for a lot of us, I mean, I did this for a long time, it never happened. I mean, I kind of held on to a pipe dream, and I, you know, I saw light at the end of the tunnel, and it kept me going. But, you know, there was at least one or two times in my career where, you know, I entertained the idea of closing the doors and moving on to another industry, and I'm sure that many of you, or at least some of you, probably shared the same experience. How I conquer the frustration is really by making the income that I've always wanted to make. And you know, it takes the same amount of work to make a little bit of money as it does to make a lot of money. The difference is it's a lot more enjoyable. Life is more fun when you're making more money. It works a little bit easier. So what I came to understand was that I had too many of my students quitting sometime within the six-month period. And I realized that in order to be successful, I had to allow my members to commit to long-term memberships to build security for my business and to increase my revenue. So I was currently waiting maybe, you know, 4, 5, 6 months before I invited students to enroll in what we call black belt level training, which was one of the few programs. And as it turns out, what I didn't really keep my eye on is that people were leaving. The majority of students left within the six-month period way before I ever got them to commit to a long-term membership. And I had mentioned this to Joe before. What I recently read a statistic that supports this new concept, and is that for every day that a student in college does not declare a major for their education, each day they exponentially increase their chances of quitting school. And the same thing happens in our martial arts schools, where we don't realize that by us dropping the ball as instructors and not taking the responsibility of encouraging our students to become black belts and point them in the right direction, now, by not inviting them to participate in this level of training, we are doing ourselves and our students a tremendous disservice. We're not keeping our students focused on a goal, and we're not going to provide the lifestyle for our family and ourselves that we truly deserve.
And that's a great setup for really what you have been working on in your school, because for those people that are on the call that know me very well know that I'm into statistics. And when I was reviewing your statistics, one of the things that I noticed was that you are really having a dramatic increase in your numbers, but those numbers weren't parallel with new enrollments. You're really still doing the same number of new enrollments per month. However, your billing check has, you know, gone right, you know,
yeah,
through the
yeah,
roof.
Exactly, exactly. And here's the thing. I mean, as Joe mentioned, because we talked before about it, I've been enrolling, you know, in each school, you know, 18 to 25 students for years. And again, in theory, you say, well, a certain portion of them are going to continue, and they'll pay a certain amount of money. It just doesn't seem to happen if you wait. The what we do in my schools and the concept that we'll be sharing today is making sure, number one, that you do have an opportunity for your students to train in some form of program that will enable them to get their black belt. Number two is that you do not wait for them to ask you if they can participate in it, or you do not wait several months to invite them. Now, in order to have, when I say upgraded programs, what I mean is what I'm referring to, terms that people use like Black Belt Club, Master's Club, Leadership Program, Mastery Training, things like that. Everyone's got different names, you know, there's a few industry terms, but everyone's got different names that they use for their different levels of membership, their different programs. But we recognized a while ago that in order to have a successful upgrade program, you have to be able to have certain things. We use the acronym like a DVD, to where the D stands for discussed, the V is for visual, and the D is for different. And to break these down quickly is, in order to get your students to make a commitment to become black belts, the first step in this is painting an image or a picture of what being a black belt will mean. We all know and recognize the universal term or standard for black belt, but I would suggest that if each one of us had to describe what a black belt meant to us, we would come up with clearly different, different descriptions. It is important for you and your school, I believe, to share with your students what they will become as a result of becoming a black belt with you or beginning black belt level training. There are a few ways that we do it. The first way, and as mentioned before, is discussed. What we mean is, during the first time we meet the student, during the introductory process, whether you do a tour or a straight-up introductory lesson or a pair of introductory lessons, which I'm not a big fan of, but it's important to talk about black belt, talk about black belt training, what it means to become a black belt, and things like that. Again, these people come in and maybe they think a black belt is something different than what you think it is, and it's your job to educate them as to exactly what a black belt means in your school. And it's different for everybody. So pre-framing them upon enrollment. Also, selling the program in the class. Most of the upgraded memberships that we sell, the majority of the work is done in the classroom. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do that by again, helping to paint that picture for a student of what a black belt will be. And, for example, class, when we begin black belt training, you're going to learn how to point your knee and extend your hips forward to get more power for that front kick. Or, did you guys know in black belt training that you will learn to take the same punch we did today, but you will use it to develop more power and confidence to break boards? So we'll use different examples like that to paint the image and kind of get people excited about the prospect of becoming a black belt. And somebody once told me, gave me the example that when the last movie you've seen, and Joe, what was the last movie you saw actually?
Alexa.
Wow. That goes back a while. Now, how did you know about it before you saw it? How'd you hear about it?
My wife, she's a Jennifer Garner fan.
Okay, well, how'd she hear about it?
Probably preview.
Exactly. So what we do is we use our basic classes to preview things that will happen in black belt training. You get excited when you see a preview for a movie because you see what you have to look forward to, what's up and coming. You have to do the same thing in your basic classes. You have to let students know, this is what we will do in black belt training. And if you guys enjoyed this aspect of training, wow, once we get the black belt training, you learn how to do A, B, and C. So you always have to paint that picture. Also, talking to parents in the lobby, talking to students, making sure they are verbally making the commitment to become black belts and setting goal for black belt. Now, the second thing we do is what we call visual. And this more so entails how you set your school up and what to do as far as the design. First thing is you've got to have different uniform colors. Now, when I say you've got to have something, it's really my opinion. You don't have to, but I think it works best. Uniform colors. For each different program we have in our schools is a different uniform color. So the programs have to be visually different from one another. They have to have, you have to have different patches. You can use vinyl graphics of logos on the wall or in any other design. Gear packages, black belt training packages, this package, master's club package, this package, package, t-shirts, everything to make it different. I've seen some schools even schedule types of events for only students involved in a certain level of training. And I think that works well, too. Also, your schedules have to correspond to the exact programs that you're upgrading people to. So if you start out and you have a basic membership, how most people do, if you do it on a time basis, now it's time to start thinking differently. People don't buy time. They buy programs. They buy levels of skill. So you can't hype somebody up or tell them a preview of a certain amount of time. You show them or tell them a preview about what they're going to get. So everyone's always concerned about what's in it for them. So your classes on your schedule have to show basic membership, basic class, black belt membership, black belt class, master's membership, master's class, same thing. And the last aspect of it is to be different. And people do not pay for more of the same thing. So you can't upgrade somebody and keep them in the same class and teach them just about the same techniques and then maybe give them a special workshop once a month. It's just not enough. You've got to be able to do something different with your curriculum. And it depends on what martial art you do, but there's access to all kinds of information. And I know there are a lot of, I know Melody's got, you know, great curriculum stuff as far as age specific. So you can find whatever curriculum you don't know as professionals. You can learn, which is part of your job, is R&D, right, research and development. You can learn, and then you can implement in your program. So if you don't have weapons, well, then weapons could be part of your master's club training. Or if you don't have, if you don't do a specific range of fighting, like throwing or grappling or trapping or whatever it is, those can be the additional add-ons. And you don't have to put a ton of stuff in. But, again, the students have to be able to see a clear and visual difference.
And I think that's extremely important because if you're charging $110 a month or $90 a month for your program, and then you're saying, hey, you know, we have this black belt club, and it's $140 a month, but they don't really kind of see the difference. Or maybe you've hyped them up and you made them excited and you get them to join, but then if you don't follow through, then there's a letdown.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And that makes people very disappointed. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very important point. And by the way, those people who, this is a ton of information, we record all the teleconferences, and they are posted online in the fourth week of the month. So if you're missing stuff and you're writing like crazy, relax. Try to absorb as much as you can. There will be an opportunity to listen to this as many times as you like. This is great so far, Mike. I've heard it before, and you know, and it's amazing information.
Yeah, I think I beat you up with it on a regular basis. Now, the other thing about this is, I mean, my experience is that most schools, and the way to really make this change in your school is to begin to focus on different things. And as a, in an industry, you know, you see two people meet each other, you know, on a teleconference, or they meet each other in a seminar or something like that. And I always hear the same questions. The questions are, how many new students do you get each month, or what's your active count, how big's your school? And honestly, all three of those numbers really do not affect the gross income of your school. And what we're all trying to do is earn money in our profession. I mean, I think we are. I mean, we're trying to carve a certain lifestyle for ourselves, provide security. So if we're going to do that, and you know, one of the reasons why we're having the conversation is because building your billing check is certainly part of this matrix in building a certain amount of security and money that you can expect, you know, even if something bad goes wrong, like your head instructor quits or something like that, you know, you can forecast and plan for the future. But for the most part, I mean, look at these items. Number one is new students. A lot of people always ask, whenever it comes to business, well, how many new students are you getting a month? That tells a story, but not the whole story. If you get 20 new students every month, but you don't upgrade anybody, your billing check will increase a little bit. Your gross income will increase a little bit, but ultimately you're bailing water out of a ship that's got a myriad of holes. You're not going to get anywhere. You've got to make sure that a certain percentage of your students who enroll must enroll in an upgraded program. And to do that, we like to use a number for our kids of about 50%. For our adults, we schedule about 80%. So what I'm expecting is that if I enroll 10 adults in a given month, that 8 of those people are going to upgrade. If I enroll 10 kids, 5 of those kids will upgrade. The second part is active count. This is one of the standard questions in the industry, but And again, we're all in the conversation, I think, because we want to be more professional in our businesses. We want to make a better income for ourselves. What on earth does active count actually have to do with any of those goals? Active count doesn't help you to produce a better black belt. Active count is not necessarily indicative of you making a certain amount of money. And how do you measure an active count? Well, when you enroll a family of 4, that is literally the price of 2, do you count all 4 of them, or if one person doesn't show up for a month, do you count them as well? It's an ambiguous number, and it's designed to stroke the ego of a martial artist, because the first thing people brag about, oh, I have 350 students. It doesn't matter. What matters more is the gross income that you're making. Certainly, keeping students, which is the next topic, is retention. Now, we all do all kinds of things in order to get retention. I personally, I think we make a great effort. We send out missy cards if they have not in for a certain amount of days. We make phone calls. We'll try and my wife, who is the program director at the main school, she's great with cutting out like articles or getting stuff from the internet and downloading people when they find out that it may be an article that pertains to a specific aspect of training the student was interested in as a way to get them back, inviting them to seminars and events, things like that. But for the most part, if you want good retention, in my opinion, I'm going to tell you how to get it. It's to encourage your students to make a commitment to become black belts early on in the training. We said earlier today, the earlier the student makes that goal, the better chance of them reaching it, the better chance of them staying for a long period of time. And them staying for a long period of time serves everyone.
Which
it serves you.
Which I think which I think is really, when you get down to, you know, what martial artists are doing every day, there's nothing more disappointing than working with someone for 6 months and then they stop training, because it's so hard in those first 6 months to get them from, you know, having little or no knowledge to getting to the point where they start feeling comfortable with their bodies, and then to have them leave. It's very disappointing. So, you know, one of the things that I really want to point out is that while all this information that you're providing has a very positive, dramatic result on income, which, you know, most people, and certainly I wouldn't blame if all people were very focused on, there is, you know, an underlying retention benefit of keeping students longer, and that just has a resulting financial gain, and that's wonderful. And, you know, a lot of martial artists out there sometimes have a negative, negative connotation with earning revenue, and I believe they need to put that aside, because that is a direct relationship to their success in teaching more people in their community. So I just want to point those two things out, that they are very related, and, you know, and I certainly asked you to, you know, to deal with some numbers today, because the fact of the matter is numbers don't lie. So I'm glad you're pointing out the correlation between the numbers as well as the retention.
Sure. And, I mean, going with the retention is, I know there's always been a big push in the industry for closing the back door and for customer service. I mean, barring tying your kids' shoes when they come into the class, you know, or helping them to get dressed when they leave, I mean, you want good retention, good customer service. Here's what I think it is. Keep your promises. Do what you say you set out to do when a student joins. Be there for them in the capacity that you told them that you will be there. Keep your school clean. Start class on time. End on time. Communicate with your students via email and phones if there are changes in schedule. Have a good website that will provide your students the information. But, I mean, I see some schools go overboard with, 17,000 patches and color forms in the kids' uniforms, and I think reward and recognition is great. I think sometimes people think that it's the key to keeping people, and it's not. I don't think so. You got to teach a good program. You got to be the product. And one of the things I think that we fail to realize is, as a martial artist, people come into your school, and actually we'll talk about this for 1 second. People come into your school when you're a martial artist, and they are buying you. You are the product. You, as a professional martial artist, have to make a decision about how you choose to live your life. You have to walk the talk. If you don't, you're selling a false bill of goods, in my opinion. That is the best retention tool. Be the guy that when you are outside somewhere in the mall, that when your student sees you, he bows to you, not because he's told to, but out of respect. And then he introduces you the proper way to a friend or a coworker, whoever he is. That's how you know you have the right influence and impact on a student. And that is how you keep students. And some of the best instructors in the world that I've ever met that have tons of students and are doing great for themselves, they're the guy. They're the example. I mean, they are living the martial way. So it's a good opportunity for everyone to take a look at themselves reflectively, and I do it all the time, and, catch myself when I'm doing something that's not, you know, martial arts instructor-like. But that is one of the best ways that you're going to retain people. Keep your promises. Do what you say you're scheduled to do, and things will wind up working out. Do you agree, Joseph?
I totally agree. And one of the, some of the concepts, and I'm not sure if concepts is even the right phrasing, because in our conversations, there's a very systematic approach that you're taking to your school, to your business, and, you know, the result statistically is you know, billing check is going up, which of course, you know, makes me at Member Solutions very happy.
Sure.
But I'm also seeing that there is an improved retention. I mean, that's clear in your numbers. And you're still signing up the same number of people. So, you know, one of the things that I want our listeners to get out of this teleconference is that even if they're signing up 10 students per month or 8 students per month, that there's a formula to increase your revenue, which makes your business more secure, that they can partake in, and it's through this upgrade concept that really, I mean, I've been consulting for years with our clients, and I listen to a lot of different people, and it's easy to fall into the trap of, hey, how do I get more students? You know, everybody is so focused in on marketing that I certainly, until I talked to you and was, you know, going through your numbers and things of that nature, you know, I saw that I kind of got put into that, you know, how do I help my clients acquire more students? And really, from the retention standpoint, there's a really great concept here about upgrading.
Let's get right into that, actually. I know exactly where you want to go. So what happens is this. We start out, we enroll in a student. From the day we enroll them, it is important for us to paint the picture, as we mentioned before, about what it means to become a black belt. It is important that we pre-frame them for our black belt conference. This is important. On the day of enrollment, we let people know, before we explain their basic membership, that it takes a certain amount of time to become a black belt in our school. Some of our students may make commitments to become second or third degree black belts. We show them some of the uniforms or patches that represent different levels of training, and we let them know that at this time, though, that their son or themselves are not ready for this level of commitment. However, if after a couple of weeks, if it seems like setting a goal for black belt makes sense, we'll sit down and discuss how to get involved in black belt training. So once we do that part, we are setting the stage for the upgrade. At the end of the conference, provided they have enrolled, we let them know. We actually schedule out, instead of them coming haphazardly for the first four classes, we actually schedule out their conference after the fourth class. This is a paramount step, because if you don't do this, you forget about the student. You enroll them, you're happy, you sit back with your arms crossed behind your head, arms pulled behind your head, and you say, wow, we enrolled a new student today, great. That is just the first step. You're not finished. You have to get them to make the commitment to become black belts. So during the first four classes, what we do is we take this opportunity to take a proactive approach to communicating, one, how much we care about them, and we care about everyone, but two, also getting them excited about training. How we do this is in a variety of ways. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you anything new that none of you have heard before. You've all done it. But you may not be doing it systematically. So what that means is you may be doing it sometimes and sometimes not, or sometimes by accident. We send out good job notes. We make awesome calls. We'll take a photograph of a student in class and use a paint pen and mail it to the student. We've got a color printer in the school, print them out right away, and it may say, future black belt in training, or look who got caught kicking like a black belt. And every day we're taking photos in class. We take kids' belts, and we'll have a head instructor sign them. We'll award them with a certificate of accomplishment in a class. We'll invite them as a guest to a seminar. We'll highlight a student for a specific area of skill they've demonstrated in that class. These are all things that help get them excited about becoming black belt and to communicate a higher level of service and a little bit more of an emotional content value to the class. We'll also make sure that we speak to the mom and make sure that she is in support of her son or daughter or themselves getting a black belt. Now, once we've done these things and we schedule our conference, as far as we're concerned, we're not selling a black belt program in our conference. That's already done. All the selling took place on the floor, in the lobby, in the office the first time. We're merely here to discuss the terms of the membership and discuss how it's going to work. Now, when Joe was asking before about the statistics, like why this is important, well, just look at the difference. Our basic membership, if you enroll, is a six-month membership. It's about $700. Our black belt membership, or the average upgraded membership that people enroll in, is about $6,500. So, which would you want more of? Do you want 20 new students, or do you want 10 upgrades? I would take 10 upgrades every day. The only purpose that we enroll 20 new students, or 10 new students, or whatever the number is going to be, is merely to support your goals for your upgrades. What I'm suggesting is everyone is looking at the wrong, you know, I think Stephen Covey was saying, you know, be careful while climbing the ladder of success that you make sure that the ladder is against the correct wall. You know, you can easily get misdirected. So it's important that we're looking at the right number. The number is upgrades. 70% of your school's gross income, whether it's billing, merchandise, graduation fees, down payments, all comes from upgraded memberships. So your basic memberships have a small impact on your billing check. They also have a small impact on your gross income. Your upgraded memberships have the largest impact. Those are what you want. If I could just enroll 10 new students and only 10 upgrades, I'd be happy with that. And a studio who can do that, who can do 10 upgrades successfully every month, will build up to a $40,000 school in a several-month period utilizing the concepts that we use. It's not hard to do. But we've all struggled in the past, and we say, wow, we've enrolled the number of students we need. And Joe has mentioned before, my number of new students hasn't trailed off at all. What's changed is the number of students I upgrade. And on any given month, if, say, I enroll 25 new students, I'm getting more than half of them. I'm getting 14 to 17 of them to commit to Black Belt. I'm doing it also in the first 30 days. An important component of this is to do it before their first payment is made on a basic program. Well, why do we do this? Well, it seems like once people make their first payment or they get their first colored belt or whichever it is, whichever comes first, they kind of feel like they're set in the program. They kind of feel like, oh, you know, I'm in the right spot. I'm here. And every studio owner has heard this one. Well, I'm just going to have Johnny finish out, you know, the basic membership and see what happens after that. The reason why that happened is because they felt comfortable. They already made a payment. They received a belt in that program already, and they weren't pre-framed with the concept of becoming a black belt. Now, I think another interesting point. Well, Joseph, is there anything else you wanted to say at that point?
Nope, you can keep going because I know where you're going with that.
Okay. So I think these things have to be done in order to make the your black belt upgrading system. And when I say the word black belt, I don't necessarily mean black belt club. It could be master's club. You know, it could be anything. And I guess what we can address right now is I'll give you some examples of the pricing that we do, where I think some people may be a little bit off. Our basic membership in our school is a 6 to 8 month membership. It's if you use your VIP discount, which is a marketing tool we use to meet more people, they get a $100 discount. So it normally works out for most students a $95 down initial investment, and they have four payments remaining of $158. Now, even though the program lasts for 6 to 8 months, we have them paid off in a shorter period of time. There's two reasons why we do this. One, we know that it's easier to collect four payments than it is to collect six. But two, we want to get the monthly payment up to a certain height so that when we upgrade them to another membership, they're already used to paying that higher number. It's an easy sign-up, and if you have a $600 program, again, make them pay it in three payments, make them pay it in four payments, get their monthly payment up to $150 to $175 if you can. And I say it loosely, you can, because especially when the program is 6 to 8 months long and you're letting them know that they're paying it off in 3 or 4 months, they don't actually, you know, average out the exact dollar amount per month, so it's not a challenge. When we upgrade people, and I'll give you an example, one of our memberships is our Black Belt membership, which is 24 months. It does not guarantee a black belt. They have a renewal due after that, but it's 24 months at $150. Their other membership, and it has a $295 down payment. Their other membership is Master's Club, and these are shown to a student in a side-by-side comparison so they can identify and understand what benefits of each one of them are and which one they want to choose. So one program, 24 payments, $150. The other program, 36 payments, $170. Now, it's only a $5 difference per week, and it's only a slightly longer commitment. But the majority of our students always select the higher program. It has more bang for their buck. It has more value in it. And, you know, we're talking about writing contracts that are, you know, just shy of $7,000. And our family memberships, which is almost the price of two members, which enable the whole family to train, they're $12,000 contracts plus. So, you know, certainly building long-term stability and a high receivables.
Now,
you know,
yeah, sorry. Now, you know, I'm going to kind of go through the series of questions that popped into my mind when we first talked, because I'm feeling that the listeners are probably saying, I got to ask this question, and that is, okay, I heard you say that I got to build long-term stability, and all the people that I talk to that run schools, if they're doing a term membership, of course, you know, a lot of of our clients realize that there's a term membership and also an ongoing / monthly membership that they have to choose from. But if you're doing a term membership, the standard is 12 months, 1 year. So this is you're saying you do 6 months to 8 months. That seems to be less, a shorter period of time, which kind of goes against the long-term thing you're talking about. So if you can just elaborate as to why your first program isn't a longer program.
Well, it's actually pretty simple. What's going to be easier to sign up, a 6 month or a 12 month?
A 6 month.
Okay, good. You, based on your initial contact, I don't do a two lesson intro. I do a tour. I've been doing a tour for 11 or 12 years since it first kind of got popular in the martial arts industry. The tour shows them around the facility. We sit down, we find out what the students want to learn from the martial arts. We teach a few techniques that for a kid are really not designed to turn them into Bruce Lee in a day, but they're designed to show the parent that, number one, their kid can do it. Number two, that you can develop a good relationship and a mentoring relationship with their son or daughter. That's the purpose of the introductory lesson part of the tour. The tour is 20 to 30 minutes. Depends on the person. All we're trying to do is build enough rapport and get them excited to make a commitment on the spot, not to come back for a second test run, not to show up next week with a form of payment.
It's easier for a single parent, well, not single parent, but one parent who might be with a child to make a six-month decision, whereas they may have to go and confer with the other spouse to do a 12-month program. And, you know, and I think everybody sees that value because ongoing memberships are utilized because they're easier to sell. And because of your strategy is, I'm not planning on these people even getting anywhere near six months.
They're not going to finish their program. See, if you do a 12-month program, that's a lot of time. That's already putting the school owner in the mindset, like, oh, okay, I got these people here for a long time training. And that's against what we want. If I could enroll them in a month, I would enroll them for a monthly membership and then upgrade them within a month. But, you know, most things that parents enroll their kids in are semesters or sessions or seasons, right? Baseball, hockey, soccer, swimming, camp, everything's got a season. So, you know, not to break that rule, and we've been doing a six-month program, again, probably for about 12 years. It's always, and we did a year before that, it's always easier, and then you've got an opportunity to show them your stuff and get them excited about who you are and what you can do for their kids. That's what happens then. And the problem is people selling a 12-month program, you know, I believe you should only have people of a certain level of experience in a certain class. So we have a basic class. Nobody's in the class longer than 6 months or so. And as a matter of fact, most people, once they upgrade, you know, they're out of the class in 3 or 4 weeks. But if you have people who've been training for a year and then people who've been training for a month, in there, they haven't made a commitment to black belt level. You're going to try and cater the class to make sure it serves the needs of the people who've been here. You know, who've been here for 10 months. But then again, you don't want to blow away the people who've been here for 1 month. And it's a harder thing to juggle. It's like, you know, putting all ranks in exactly one class. So I think that part of it's a challenge. But the bottom line is, do the short term membership. It's an easier level of commitment and a smaller amount of money to get from the parents or families or adults. But on the other end, you're going to ask them to upgrade in a short period of time anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
What I'd like to do, because time flies when you're having fun, we have about 19 minutes left, and I want to point a couple of things out real quick, and then I know that people are going to have some questions, and I really would like them to ask you direct. But I'd like to give a little bit of background here. I have a client of ours who I've known for quite a number of years. I've consulted with him. I've helped him on a number of occasions. He's consulted with a lot of people. He knows a lot of things to do at his school, so he's very knowledgeable, if we want to call it, of a lot of different techniques. And I think what he was missing was really putting together the whole kata, or the whole form, you know, putting all these techniques together into something that's very systematic. And you know, I had hooked you up with him, and we kind of ran through a little bit of a test, because, you know, what's interesting is sometimes people have a way of doing something and they're very successful at it, And then people feel, geez, you know, this may not work for me. So we kind of went through as the client was told that he was going to be a guinea pig. And you know, I would like you just to briefly just summarize your relationship with the client during the month of June. And then what I'd like to also mention is that you're in the process now of putting together what is really a very high-end consulting program that has a tremendous amount of hands-on training and very systematic. I know that you're good friends with Ali Alberigo, that you guys have been talking together. I know that Ali's been very excited about the program that you have, and you know Ali has quite a few successful schools.
Oh, he's a sharp operator, sure.
And you know, even a large school owner as well as a small school owner could benefit from some of these techniques. So I'd like you to just kind of review your relationship with this other client, give some facts and some stats that you've been able to help him with, and then what we have coming up probably sometime in August or September is we're going to be putting together a little focus group, getting some member solution clients together to do I don't know how we want to describe it, but you know, maybe getting 15, 20 clients together and put them through, and they can kind of be the pioneers on the program. So details on that will come usually by email, probably some written correspondence as well, just to give people an idea that there is going to be some follow-up after this teleconference.
Great. So that means you guys can all look forward to that. But what I'll tell you now is when Joe called me about this a couple months ago, Denny, his last name is Strecker, is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
Okay. And if I'm correct, is he in Michigan?
I believe so.
Okay. So what we're going to talk about, what we're talking about works everywhere. You know, New York, Michigan, doesn't matter. Danny was a school owner, and I had spoken with him about this, so I kind of have permission to talk a little bit about his success. He had been involved in many different mentoring or coaching programs, and I won't go into detail or names, but he was experiencing a level of success that if nothing else, was just short of driving him out of his head, and he was extremely frustrated. And from his billing check, I remember him telling me was somewhere in the 6,000s, but his gross income was only averaging about 10,000, maybe 11,000. Best month he ever had is $15,000, but more so on average around 10,000 per month.
His gross revenue, all the money coming in for that month.
Right. So, you know, if billing was representing 60% of his gross income, which is really high, and you know, Denny was enrolling 3 or 4 students a month, you know, didn't really have an upgrade program. And I have to tell you, I mean, I let him know that we're putting together the rest of our program, and we're going to have a ton of materials and manuals and worksheets and all kinds of things to really integrate, you know, what I do for school owners who want to learn how to do it into their school in a step-by-step progression. But I told Danny a couple of good ideas. I helped him reformulate his programs and the length of time and the prices. And I'll have to tell everybody, with very minimal coaching, and you know, Danny seemed like a really smart guy. And the one good thing about him was he did his best in everything he did, everything he tried. He fully executed everything I asked him to do. And I only gave him, like, a pinch here and there of what would help, and the end result was this: he grossed about $18,000 for the month, which was a huge difference from the month before, which was like $10,800.
Broke a record.
He broke a record. We set the goal out from day one. I started with him 2 or 3 days before the month started. We set out a goal for $17,000, which he beat, obviously. That also earned him a shopping spree for him and his wife, which was the prize at the end of the month. But he added over $2,000 to his billing check. And that was exciting because he was just about, I think he was at 65, and, you know, as far as he's concerned, by the end of this month now, he'll break $10,000. And that was what he was grossing in income for forever. And it's completely, you know, he shared with me that he was able to take care of outstanding debts. He felt so much better about himself. He wrote his first $12,000 contract. He started enrolling families as per my recommendation as well, and taught him how to do that, which is not something we discussed today, but it's something we'll discuss in the future. And he is a guy who, when I spoke to him at first, you know, it was a lot of skepticism. It was kind of like, oh, you know, I've heard it all before. And, you know, pretty much it sounded like almost like talking to a guy the first day or two who lost his dog, you know. pretty down, you know, ready to close the doors at any minute. And here's a guy now.
He was frustrated. He had sent myself and he sent someone else in the industry an email, because obviously we're one of his organizations and he belongs to another. And he had basically sent us an email describing his frustrations. He was letting us know that, look, I'm doing this, 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 and this, and I'm not getting the result, and I don't know why, and I just want to know what I need to do to make it all work. And that's what sort of started all this. But and I want to point out the fact that, you know, he reached out. You know, we want to help.
Is that a cry for help,
everyone. We want to help everyone, and he reached out. He reached out at the right time because it was just at the time that we started talking, because I was looking at your numbers. But hey, there's a lot of information, and Denny has he's so super excited that he's volunteered to, you know, provide a lot of information to people and that kind of stuff. But I want to take these last 10 minutes and get some questions out to you. This could be an all-day conference for sure, and we'll probably end up having to do them at some point. But let me open it up. Let me just get this going on the phone. And then just a reminder that if you're not talking or asking a question, if you can use the mute on your phone, and if your phone does not have a mute, you can hit *6, and that will automatically mute you. This way everybody can hear the questions clearly. Okay, here we go, guys. Okay, I think we're open now. We out there? Great. Okay, do we have a question for Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
Yes.
Mike. Yeah. Give me an idea of how the let's say if I'm in a non-traditional system, so we
yes,
don't
sir.
Have a black belt as such. Give me an idea on how I could use the same principle, the same concept, but within the confines of a non-traditional system.
And who's asking the question, by the way?
This is Dwight.
Hey, Dwight. How you doing?
Good.
Dwight, that actually is probably more of an unusual question, because I'm sure the majority of people in the industry are you know, belt-oriented,
right.
And it might sound like something it would be better for us to discuss, because I'd have to ask you some more questions about your school, your style, and are you doing any kind of ranking system at all?
We have one, but we don't use the belt.
Well, what I would say to you first is that if I told you that you'd be more successful, and what I mean by that is you could retain more students, train them longer, and earn more income for yourself, and provide, in my opinion, a different level of service, would you be interested in using belts? Because here I am, Dwight. I'm a kung fu guy who came out, and we didn't have any belts when we started out. Everyone started out with a black sash, and
right.
My first test in the school was for a stripe, and it was 1 year, and 5 people made it to the 1 year, and they tested for 3 hours. I mean, so you cannot be any more backwards than I have ever been.
Okay.
So I have done it all. But what I learned was that my goal was to produce good students, to give them what they wanted, to train them, to keep them, all those things, make more money for myself. I adopted a belt system because it could do that better than what I was doing before. So I would suggest to you, I'll give you information and contact with me, but I would think that it may be something you may want to reconsider in your school if your goals are truly, you know, what I mentioned before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I'd appreciate it if we could get that.
Well, I'll give you an email address. My AOL address is kungfu531, so it's May 31st, kungfu531@AOL.com. If anyone wants to, you know, give an email, I'll respond to it within a day or so. But, yeah, Dwight, we could talk more about that.
Okay.
But, so is it okay if I cut you off there?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thanks, sir. And thanks, anyone else have a question?
Yes, sir, I have one.
Yes, sir.
My name is Bruce Costa. I own Tsunami Karate in Pennsylvania, and I'm
grateful to meet you, sir.
Good to meet you, and I'm very grateful for your time and insights. And I would just want to run by you what I do, because I feel I owe a lot of it to Joe Gallia, and I say this every time I'm in his presence, and I say it way more often than he knows outside of his presence. We do an ongoing membership, and when you join, you're told that you have to give 90 days notice. And I tell them that it's because we all plateau at some point or another. A black belt's just a white belt that didn't quit.
It quits, sure.
You know, and so that gives me 3 months to prove to you that you can do whatever it is that's hanging you up. And I'll tell you what, I've only ever lost 15% of the students I've ever had. Now, we've only ever been in business for 3 years, but here's what I want to run past you. I currently charge $119 a month when they first join, but when they hit green belt, they have to take my intermediate class, and they sign a form that says, all right, that's once a week, you're paying for 3 classes a month, so I'm going to charge you $30 extra a month. And I usually give them 4 classes a month or more.
Okay.
Then when they hit brown belt, they're going to enter the advanced class, which is on another night of the week, and they charge another $30. So what this boils down to is out of my entire, and I teach traditional Japanese Shotokan karate, okay, and we're in a big system, and I got to follow all the rules and all that. But 45% of my students pay $149 a month. 16% of my students pay $179 a month. And it's going to keep on dumping into the $179 a month realm. So I guess my point is I don't really get the whole upgrade thing, because there's never any expectation that you're going to do anything other than what it is I'm expecting you to do. You know?
Okay. I'm a fairly sharp New Yorker, but even I'm confused at this point.
Okay.
Let me ask you one or two things. Number one, how many students are you enrolling on a monthly basis?
Somewhere around 4.
Okay. If I ask you to evaluate a statistic over a 1 month period versus a 12 month period, what do you think is more accurate?
A 12 month period.
Okay. If I ask you to evaluate a stat based on 120 students versus 800 students, we're going to agree the stat on 800 students is more accurate.
Sure.
If you're only 4 students a month, It's a whole different ball game. You have the ability to develop, different types of relationships, which I don't always think are good or bad. But it's a whole different type of ball game. When you're in a school that's enrolling 200 students a year, what you will be able to pull off at 50 students a year is not the same. But my question to you is this: are you earning personally the type of income that you want to earn?
Oh, no, not yet, no.
Okay, so what I would say is you seem to have the first time ever, and I've been in this 15 years, that I've ever heard of that system as far as memberships and everything. It sounds a bit complicated. The system that I use is just really simple. The student trains for a few weeks, you encourage them to set a goal for black belt. If you've done all the right job, 50 to 80% of your students will say yes. And then you don't have to worry about every time you up or change their memberships or renew their memberships, you have an opportunity for that student to make a decision not to do it, but have something come up in their lives. And by committing students, I had lots of students who got black belts who, if I had not committed them, they would have quit at some point in the time. And I get that in my essays when they take their black belt test all the time. Thank you for, that time when I wanted to quit or whatever it was. It's your responsibility as your instructor to give them an avenue that they can commit to. Does that make sense? But again, a unique situation. Yes.
Yeah, and also, a lot of clients, especially from the, quote, the old TPS side of things, we certainly did a lot of marketing on the ongoing membership, sort of for a similar reason to what you had said, that it's a lot easier to sell somebody on an ongoing membership than you would sell them on a one-year commitment. It took me a couple of times, Bruce, in talking with Mike and kind of getting the I don't want to say the term agreement concept, but exactly how the upgrade system plays a major role in improving the retention. I mean, I've said it for to everyone I talk to about the ongoing membership. The ongoing membership is to get the student in a comfortable setting, and then your goal at that point is to upgrade that person to a black belt club or some kind of advanced training program. So it's very similar. What Mike is doing is he's being much more aggressive by saying, I'm putting a deadline on it here. I'm going to sign this person up for 6 months because I know I can do that. I know that I can have a presentation. They're already excited. They're in my school. I'm going to have a presentation. I'm going to sign up most of these people that walk through my door. Now, as soon as they sign up, I'm not going to go, Okay, now I just got to get in there and teach class and deliver on the services that they're paying for. Mike's viewpoint is, okay, they just signed up. We got to get to work. We got a lot of things to accomplish here. We got to make sure that we start educating them exactly what it means to be a black belt at our school. We have to educate them on what they should be thinking is required of them to be successful in their training to become a black belt in my school. So he's going to work right away on a very systematic approach. I'm sure Mike has a calendar.
Joe, you're 100% on that. I mean, that's exactly it. And you know, think about it. I mean, asking your students 3 months later to change or augment their membership, they're not excited about it the same anymore. I mean, when you buy a new car, they don't call you a month later or 2 months later and say, hey, listen, would you like to buy the floor mats? I mean, it's all happening as fast as you can physically make it happen. And I'm not against upgrading people in a second class. You know, if you can communicate everything that needs to be communicated to make that student feel comfortable with their decision in two classes, you know, mazel tov. I mean, you know, by all means, continue. I don't know if people out of the state might recognize that term. I think it just make it as easy as possible. But as we're running out of time, I just wanted to make a mention that the concepts that we're talking about today, and Joe's been really giving me a lot of assistance on letting me know what a lot of his clients' needs are. And I've been a Member Solutions client. I'm school 89, so I think it's 12 years or 11 years. I mean, I go back a long way with them, and they're an awesome company. And I've been enticed and encouraged and even baited to switch companies, I've never switched because I've always felt, you know, that they were the best company for me. What Joe has shared with me is some of the challenge their clients had. And what we talked about is putting together, what I wanted to do was put together a mentoring program that would enable, us to all solve some general problems. One is how to get the school's billing checks up so they'll have security, and certainly Member Solutions would be happy about that. And at the same time, teach school owners how to make real money. I mean, how to make $50,000, $60,000, and $70,000. Now, currently, I'm going to break $60,000 most likely by next month. My goal is to break $75,000 by the same time next year. And the funny thing is, 2-3 years ago, if you asked me how to make $50,000 or $60,000 a month in a school, if you can't answer this question, this is why you need to listen to this, I couldn't have given you the answer. I didn't have the formula. I couldn't add up enough numbers. You can say, how do you make $50,000 in a school? Oh, enroll 100 students. Have them all pay in full. Yeah, that's nice. But if you don't know the answer to the question, how to make $40,000, $50,000, or $60,000 in a month, and don't say build your billing check up to $40,000. But if you don't know the answer to that question, you have to start reaching out and searching out other information. There are people in the industry making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, and even over $100,000 in a calendar month. My system enables me to make $50,000 plus with only 3 employees. I won't talk about, you never know if the IRS is listening, but I can't tell you how much money I actually keep out of that $50,000 every single month. It's most of it. I don't pay high expenses you don't need an intricate system that involves 12, 14 employees. It eats up all your profit. You've got to use a system that enables you to have an excellent billing check. Your billing check should represent anywhere from 25 to maybe 40% of your total gross income. If your billing check represents 50 to 75%, there's untapped potential in your school.
Right.
The mentoring program that we're going to start will be available in another month or so. But for people who are interested, and again, you can email me, you can email Joe, and he'll direct people to me. That's probably the easiest thing, just email Joe, and he can direct people over. But we'll have some more details pretty soon. If Joe still likes me after today's conference, maybe we'll have the opportunity to do another one in a few weeks or so. And that's pretty much it. But I'm committed to helping school owners get over that hurdle of whether it's to break 15,000, 20, 30. But I'm saying all these things not to impress you guys. Well, maybe a little bit, but really to impress upon you that if you're a school that makes $10,000 and enrolls 5 students a month, you in a 6-month period, you can be a school that makes $30,000 to $40,000.
Joe,
so,
in a month.
Joe,
yeah, in a month.
Yes.
Joe, it's Debbie out in California.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Mike, it was really good listening to you. And are
Thanks,
you
going
to be doing any of those one-on-one coaching things that we can?
No, Mike's program is something that when he puts together is something that Member Solutions will be letting our clients know how to get involved. You know, I do not think that 1,700 clients are going to jump on board to the program, and but I do think that this is a program that will probably generate a tremendous amount of interest. You know, there isn't the program will certainly have a lot of hands-on attention from the people who are participating in it, but it's not something that we're hiring Mike to do what Melody and Allie do for us, which is, you know, providing a tremendous amount of consulting information of what's working successfully in their school, and you know, they're helping us service those one-on-ones. This is, you know, something that's completely different. That you know, for people that know me, I seek out as much information as I could possibly get my hands on that I think can help clients. And, you know, even if I come into contact with something that may be a little different than my personal viewpoint, I will keep researching it. And, you know, the things that Mike has to offer, I mean, numbers don't lie, and that's what I look for. I look to see what's working, and if I can get people to duplicate what someone else is doing and having some success, and that's great. Because really, when I get up each day, I only have really just one goal, you know, for Member Solutions, and that's to help clients succeed. And, you know, we're just trying to provide with you guys with as much information as possible. A lot of stuff that you're hearing today, I know will probably feel very strange and different. It certainly felt strange and different to me, and I hear a lot of stuff. But when you start hearing it, I mean, I would encourage everyone to listen to this teleconference again when it becomes available online, because you'll pick up on a lot of different things, and you'll start hearing it, you'll become more comfortable with it. And it's actually a lot easier than what you think. I mean, Mike isn't doing anything complicated. He, you know, his big thing is he wants to keep it extremely simple. Hey, Mike, I know you have an appointment, so I appreciate you hanging on for a few minutes.
Thanks so much. And again, if anyone wants to contact me, I mean, just get in touch with Joe, and he'll forward an email or something like that.
Absolutely.
It'll be easier.
Just email me if you guys have questions. And, you know, obviously, I'm kind of in the same seat you guys are in, so if you have some things, I'll try to answer them as well. I just thank you, everybody, for coming on board teleconference today. And
well, thank you, Joe.
And thanks for giving me an opportunity, Mr. Gallia.
Awesome information.
No thank problem. You, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.